Hi, and welcome to MVC Storefront Part 15. This is a real-world application building exercise where we build out an e-commerce storefront using ASP.NET, MVC, and test-driven development. My name is Rob Connery. I work at Microsoft. My email, if you have any questions, is robcon@microsoft.com. You can send me an email there or leave a message on this blog. Starting this episode, as I normally do, with your feedback, I've received a number of comments both in email and on my blog asking for a refactoring session, and I've decided to take that one step further and do a public code review, and that is exactly what this episode is all about. It's very important to check yourself at regular intervals, and since I've had the good graces of your company to leave me comments and so on, I've kind of not really submitted the application for architectural review or senior review as I should have. So that is what today's episode is all about. I've asked my buddy Ayende Rahin to come and check on how I'm doing with this application, do a little bit of a sanity check, and this thing, doing this is very, very, very important, because the last thing you want to do is to lock yourself in a room, start coding, don't ask anyone to look at what you're doing, because what you're going to end up with is what you think is a neat idea, but what other people are just going to think is an absolute nightmare. So today I've asked Ayende to go through the code base, tell me what he thinks, and I think I had a good aha moment. I had a lot of pushback moments, but hopefully out of this you'll see some interesting patterns emerge where people can get stuck, and I hope you learn a lot. I know I did, and if you have any questions, as always, please do leave them on my blog. I was hoping Steve Harmon could join us today, but unfortunately he couldn't. He was able to review the application the other day when I asked for a little bit of help, and he brought up an issue that I'd like to address right now, and that is the use of quote-unquote magic strings. A lot of people don't like to have strings in their application anywhere in their code. Sometimes you just can't get away from it, but other times if you can have something that has a little bit greater meaning than just some quoted information, it usually helps. In this case, for render commerce control, which is the code I'm addressing here, I'm just passing in a file reference. Now that means something to the method, but it doesn't mean anything to the person who's reading it. It's sort of a magic file reference that somehow invokes the file and gets it done. What would be better is to pass in some sort of typed generic or something that says, invoke this type for me, please. That has a little bit more information tied to it. Well, there's limitations in the way that we can render this information. But I can do one step better than strings, and so I did that just the other day. First thing I did was I went in and I replaced the strings with enumerations. To me, that's just one step better than using strings all over the place. So I refactored that out, and just to kind of show this to everybody, the site is working very nicely. So I wanted to thank Steve for that little bit of feedback. Oren has gone through all the code here on my site with me. We spent about an hour and a half just looking at everything, a little longer, and we kind of came up with four items that we really want to talk about and highlight. So we'll just jump that right into that now. So Oren, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here's my issue. What we're looking at right now is the SQL catalog repository, and this is my implementation using link to SQL. DB here is the data context that is in charge of handling data connections to the database, etc. So
how are you getting that?
Well, so here's the way we have it set up. We're using structure map, and you can see here we have a constructor here that requires the DB context to be loaded. So when I was working with Jeremy Miller on this, we set it up in our registry here for structure map, the configuration, that structure map would instance it and would also handle the lifetime of it, so I didn't need to. And so you can set the instance scope however you want. In this case, you can see I can set it to singleton if I wanted, thread local, which keeps it thread safe, which is pretty cool, per request, or hybrid. The reason we set it to hybrid is it's sort of like
so
having a per request, but it's you can run it without a website.
You can run it either as thread local or HTTP context, whatever.
Sure. So that's pretty cool. So we set it up because the way that Link to SQL guys say you should do it is you should have an instance, a lifetime, generally handled per HTTP request. Yeah. So this is cool. We was able to set it right up this way. Okay. So all of this I'm happy with. The problem is if you come back over here to the website and I open up the Bootstrapper, And this is where it's configured for the application, Bootstrapper. This is where we're setting up structure map. If I come down here to my iCatalog repository, and I'm telling it the default type, go ahead, instance up SQL Catalog repository. And I'm setting this up as a singleton. Yeah. So
this is probably the worst issue that you can run into
really
with containers.
Okay.
Mismatch lifetimes.
Ah, interesting.
What you have here is a dependency that has shorter lifetime than the service it's dependent upon.
Interesting. Okay.
Now this is important because, as you mentioned, the data context is not supposed to be static. It's not supposed to be shared. It keeps state inside. It's not multi-threaded safe. So you really want that to be per request. However, what you have done here, because the SQL Catalog repository is a singleton, for the fourth request, it will work as expected. It will get the data context. The second request, you will get the same SQL Catalog repository with the data context that belong to the previous...
Of course, because it is a singleton.
To the previous request.
Right.
In general, singletons are not really useful. Unless they are very expensive to create.
Well,
creating a new app domain is very expensive.
We were talking about this before, and you said, why are you using singletons? And I said, well, you know, performance, duh. And you, I think you said to me, I think you asked me what duh means, and then you said, no, you told me I was silly or something like that for thinking a singleton would save me. So tell me, say again what you told me before about how much it takes to you know, instance an object.
To create any object in .NET, it takes 0.00000006 milliseconds.
Good grief.
So
that's all those zeros something. And then a millisecond? That fraction?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
that's insignificant.
Yeah, entirely.
So sometimes you see people hang up on that. Well, I don't want to the cost of creating objects. But yes, but if you don't have the cost of creating object, this 0.000 something six, then you have the cost of, well, now I have a shared object. Now I have to make it multi-thread safe. So in general, you should really avoid doing multi-threading. But multi-threading in your application, the infrastructure may need to be multi-threaded safe, but that's another issue.
Something I poke fun at Steve Harmon all the time, and Steve, I'm sorry, I have to do this. this is his blog, and it's funny because it's what I call the slowest blog in the world. So as I'm talking here, wow, it actually loaded up pretty quick. That was about 3.5-4 seconds. Normally, it takes forever for this thing to load, and I joke with him about it, you know, and of course, I pick on Steve whenever I can. But the point being that he's got so much on this page that a lot of it he's not even responsible for. So, like, things like even Google's AdSense scripts, or the scripts that go out and, like, urchin stats, and, you know, whatever else. Like, you know, he has some sponsoring here and a few other things, plus, you know, images. Like you mentioned, Oren, compressing images, doing gzip, and so on. Those are the things to worry about. It took me 4 seconds to see his blog. The subtext isn't slow, which is his blog platform. I know that. So anyway, back to your point. Yeah, milliseconds, man. You know, you've got a lot better stuff to worry about. Unless, this is the next point, unless you're deciding at this point you want to plan and optimize to the moon. And I think you and I both agree that that's right now this is not something we want to do.
But this is something that you should care about because let's say that you have this requirement. The site should finish in X amount of time. And I had an application where I had 300 milliseconds to process a request.
Yeah.
Now, when you have a hard time limit, then you really care about the milliseconds. But then you start asking yourself, where is all my time going? In the case of most web application, it isn't going on the rendering of the page. If you're doing your work correctly, it's going on loading the scripts, on going to however many places where you get resource from. But at the same time, I'm seeing people thinking about performance, 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 and not thinking at all about scalability. Because, yes, I can serve the page in 300 milliseconds, but I can only do it for 3 users. I would rather have the ability to serve 3,000 users or 300,000 users than very, very fast site that can only support very small amount of users.
That's a good point.
Here's a simple example. Let us say that you're using SageStrat in the application. I don't know if you're using that yet, but you probably will. It's a very common thing to do. Let us say that you're using temp data to store some object. Let's say that you're editing something. And you want to, and the user submitted, and there is validation error. You put the object in the temp, you put the object in the temp data, and send it back to the user for additional editing. Now, what is the problem with that? So far, it's worked just fine, and you tested that, and it's nice and lovely. Now you're going into a production, and you have 2 servers. And when you have 2 servers in the server farm, you now start. You now know that. Okay, when I'm doing that, I really need to be able to have shared sessions. I can use sticky sessions, but that's not really a good approach in many situations. So I want to use something like the state server or the SQL state provider, something like that. But have you ensured that the object that you put in the session or in the temp data are serializable?
Interesting.
If you haven't, then it will not work.
We ran into this issue with Subsonic many times, where we've made each object serializable if you're using our active record. However, if you change a data type to be nullable, serialization fails. And if you have a null, if the object itself is null, it's because it doesn't understand null, right? There's no translation of null into XML. Interesting little gotcha. Okay. So that would be a scenario right there where serialization would fail. So go on.
So, and now you have a situation where you may be very fast, but you can't scale the application.
Right.
Now you have to go to sticky sessions. Even if a server fails, then all the sessions are dropped and stuff like that.
Right. Okay, let's move on. I think we've pretty much solved this one issue. The no singletons. And from what I understand, so there's 2 things you raised. Singletons are evil. And then secondarily, there's a difference between refactoring for performance and refactoring for scalability. And at this point, what we've been doing is going more towards the scalability angle, ignoring performance, because, obviously there's a difference. The next thing we talked about was the user repository here. And specifically, one of the things that you brought up, you asked me why I was using ASP.NET membership. And the reason that I'm using it is primarily because it's what people are used to. And not only that, I don't want to rewrite an entire membership thing by scratch. I mean, I've done that how many thousands of times. And to be quite honest, I really like the membership system. The thing I don't like is it doesn't play nicely with my architecture here, in that you can see what I've had to do here. I've had to kind of break my iQueryable to, because, membership doesn't implement iQueryable, so I'd have to, normally what I would have done is I would have had a get user routine in the service, which leveraged get users and brought back singular default. Instead, I've had to do this, because I want to pull out the membership information. It works nicely, but, it's a little bit of a stitching of the 2 systems together. So you had an opinion on using ASP.NET membership, so why don't you share that?
Yes. My general approach for bringing additional component into the application is, does it save me more time than it would take me to write it on my own? Does it save me significantly more time? And the membership provider provides several things. It provides configurability. Like if you go to the web config, you have shown me before that you can configure a password strength and what to do when you are a password format and all sorts of stuff. But from my point of view, this is static for a particular website. Now, when I'm building an application, I'm saying, okay, the authentication, the security is a service. I have an authentication service that handles this kind of thing. Now, you want something else? Absolutely. Implement your own authentication service and register that in the container, and you're done. So, from the point of view of configurability, it's over. Just put the whatever implementation you want, and you don't need to do anything. Now, another thing that the membership provider gives you is all sorts of handling of edge cases. So, if you try to register a user that already exists, then the membership provider will give you an authentication.
And you can come down here. I just want to show you real quick the registration routine, which is what you're talking about right now, which is indeed what I'm able to do. I just say, hey, register this user, and it does it. And if I have a problem, it throws back some status, so I know exactly what it is. So yeah, exactly. Go on.
Okay. Now, none of this is very hard to write. And go back a bit.
Okay.
So here's the issue. What you have here is a problem for a different reason. You have two different subsystems playing here. You have your own system, which you need to track your own data of the user. You can try putting it in the membership provider, but that is a whole big mess that you don't really want to get into. What you do get here is the handle of the edge cases. I don't think that this is supported, but the problem is you don't have transaction here.
Yep, that's right.
So, if the now you have the possibility of corrupted data. Now you can try doing a two-phase commits in order to try to handle this some way, and maybe there are other ways that I'm not aware of, but. In general, I think that I don't see here, in this situation, that the membership provider provides you enough benefit to carry its own weight. Because one of the things that the membership provider does is the integration with the UI all the way. So that is nice.
So you're talking about in web forms, the drag and drop, login control, registration control, remember password. Yeah, we don't have that in MVC, so you're right. I don't have any UI components for this. That's true.
And for myself, I found that the UI components, let us separate things here. I wouldn't use the membership provider because I don't think that way. I think that you should use a different approach, and it tends to make using something like a membership provider much harder. Again, it comes to I want to be able to get the user in the same future query batch as everything else. Stuff like that.
The main issue here is that we're trying to marry up two systems, my user system and the membership system. And I'm following your suggestion, which is to treat it more as a service, that there's authentication, there's registration, there's, you know, so on, which makes perfect sense. I think at this point, I'm gonna have to I don't say disagree, because that's not what I'm doing, but I'm sort of feeling like rewriting my own membership system right now. I have something going in the back of my mind that's just screaming at me, saying, don't do it, it's already implemented in a very nice way. Not only that, but the fact that people already have they already have these ASP.NET membership systems out there that might house lots of user data, and they're able to just literally lift this application and put it right on top of that if, let's say, they're upgrading or rolling over to this application. And finally,
that is why
that
is why you have authentication systems.
Yeah.
Just register something.
Well, we'll tell you what. You know, this is interesting. This is why we're doing this in a public forum. Let me hear from you, the people out there. I mean, what do you think? I think Oren's points are valid. At the same time, a more pragmatic part of me is just squirming at the idea of writing my own hashing routines and you know, all these checks. But, you know, maybe it's one of those things you write it once, or maybe you just create a couple of components that you pop in the component controller bin here. Because, like you mentioned, we don't have the UI bits. Well, maybe I could make them and then publish them. Who knows? I had a pretty strong reaction to Andy's suggestion for removing the ASP.NET membership system from the site. It's something that's been done before, it's something I don't need to do again, and generally it takes a lot to push me off-center and to make me think, but that is the whole goal of this review session, and it should be of any review session, which is to challenge your ideas and your assumptions and make you think about what you're doing. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to understand what the other person is saying, only because I'm very stuck sometimes in the way that I've done things because it's worked for me, and I'm sure that many out there can relate to that. And so I have thought a lot about it over the last few days, and what occurred to me after thinking back and rewatching this episode is that what Oren was really getting at was not so much just rewriting it for the sake of writing a membership system, but what really hit me was what we're really talking about here is that we're talking about two separate systems completely. What I have is the concept of a user, and that is sort of split into two parts. On one hand, we have membership and security. On the other hand, we want to track personalization. We want to know who this user is. We want to know what they're clicking. We want to know how to sell to them. Those are two distinct, different things. And I think when you get down to it, that was just the core of the problem I was having. And so I'm going to take Ayande's suggestion. I'm going to refactor heavily the way that I'm dealing with membership. I've thought a lot about it, and I'm going to cover this in a next episode. But for right now, know that the existing membership I have, I'm going to scrap and redo. I'm not going to do it by hand. I'm going to use the ASP.NET membership system, but I'm going to use it in a different way, one that doesn't interfere with my concept of a user in terms of sales and personalization, but one that lends itself nicely to kind of plug-and-play membership system. So many thanks to Ayande for making me think. So one of the other things that came out of our review session here was that I have a few extra queries right here and a few extra database calls specifically for our product here. Now the way I was scheming on doing this originally was to call iQueryable, and again having a very basic, easy to use repository. Just saying, building a query on top of that and saying, give me a single or default. Once I have the product, then I could fill it out. Well, the problem that you brought up, Oren, was that this, you know, a few extra calls here isn't so bad, but, you know, as we were talking about before, bottleneck, right?
It's hitting, it's making lots of remote calls, and that's generally okay. A bad idea. Now, I'm not sure why you can't fill the entire thing. Mm-hmm. What I would try to do, fill the entire thing in a single query. And that is maybe something that I would want to push to the repository. We have two issues here. The get products and with product ID is something that I really like. This really allows me to allow the repository API give me a query interface that I can now start playing around, and I don't really need to do a whole lot of work in the repository. And if I can make the repository as simple as possible while keeping the power to really do things in a smart way across the application, I'm very happy. The problem here is that you have lots of remote calls, and that is a bad thing. Now, this is something that you want to take and put in the repository and then modify that until you get the product in a single call. Maybe you can even do it in as a future product, and then you can register into the same batch of queries that we've talked about before.
So the bottom line, what it comes down to is the repository is not going to allow the data access tool to do that, like you mentioned before, and Hibernate will do a single batch call. When you have multiple like this, you can also bend.
Yes, but here you are.
Also bend Subsonic to do that as well. I don't think Link to SQL will do it, but if we get our future stuff working here, maybe it will. But the point being is we're not allowing the repositories to do the magic they do given this setup. So what I think, you know, we came talking about before was maybe we're going to have to add in the product repository here, or the catalog repository here, is an additional method in here, so that each repository can be allowed to do a single call for this deep product, right?
Yes. Go back a bit for the catalog service.
Here to do add get product. Okay, back to service. Okay.
Yes, so what you have here, even if you had futures, you couldn't have used them. Because if you can see, you're explicitly resolving the queryables for each step. You have single, default, toList, etc. What you have, if you want to use a batch, you need to delay the actual execution of the queries as late as possible. I have situation where the actual batch resolution is done when the view is trying to iterate over the item so it can display them. So it's so far that the controllers has stopped doing its work. Now, and that gives the application as much information as it can have about how to do this. Now, something that is inter that I noted that is interesting, you give me different object if I'm calling get products or if I'm calling get product. If I'm calling get products, I don't have image reviews of related
That's
products.
right.
So why do you have two objects here? Or why do you have two shapes of the same object?
I mean, these originally started out being lazy lists, and which is the thing that you and I worked out, or you worked out, I should say. The problem came down to lazy list kept firing, so I couldn't do get products and have these defined, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to put iQueryable on the model. Does that make sense? So what I ended up doing was just saying, well, if I'm calling get products, then I just want a list of them. I'm not interested in all the images and all the reviews and all the related products, etc., which may or may not be the case. All right, so here I'm going to throw myself a to-do here up on my service class right here, and I'm going to say to-do too many calls. Okay, and I'm going to just build this and make sure it still builds, and good, everything does. So, Oren, let me ask you this. Overall, in terms of the structure of the application, this is what I'm really interested in. As opposed to, you and I have talked about the data access implementation and, the dual model thing, and, I have to work with linked to SQL. That's not something I can change. Membership is questionable. I might find a different way of working with membership, and then I'm going to check with you again in the future to see what you think about it. But in terms of the overall architecture, the way it's put together, I want it to be a nice kind of demonstration application for people to learn. What do you think? I mean, if you had to give it a grade so far, aside from linked to SQL and the other things that you might want to do differently, what would you say? What would you give it?
I like this. Here's the deal. You're using an ORM, you're using an IOC, you're using a MVC. So from my point of view, and regardless of nitpicking about the capabilities of one tool or another tool, this is really important to me because it means that a lot of the options that you have, even if you have stuff like what we just talked about, you are very high in the list of how you can do things, and there isn't anything that I would say, oh no, now this is a totally wrong approach to do. And there's a lot of places where I say, yeah, I don't have anything to say because this is natural. This is very much the way I think that you should do things. Things like feature queries are details. They aren't architectural concerns that you really cares about, at least not at that level. Can you show us the add item to
Yeah,
cart
sure.
page?
Oh, here we go.
We have
Yep, so let's.
talked about that before, and I really
There you
liked.
go.
So I have that, and now go to the
Okay,
implementation, to the view.
so if we go down to the view, it is in view. Let's see, shopping cart, item added. Yeah, this is it.
That
Yeah,
I really like.
it's nice. I mean,
That's all.
when I wrote this page, I was really really happy with it, because I mean, this page is fairly complicated, sort of. But the nice thing about it is it's really just a few lines, and we're able to flex the object orientedness of a of a product here, and we're just accessing the cross sales property. And you know, yeah. So that was my goal in making this extremely simple. So good. Well, I'm glad you're feeling favorable, because I was going to pin you. I was going to say, you know, you help me architect this, or if you don't like it. Well, that's good. Well, that makes me happy. I mean, and before people think that, you know, Warren's just being nice to me, you don't really have a problem stating your mind, from what I know of you. So the fact that you're saying nothing bad is actually a good thing. But there are some things to change. So first and foremost, yeah. Just to recap, we fixed our singleton issue, and we looked at the data context, and I think we're both happy with the way that is. Going back into the membership, I will look at alternatives to that. I hear what you're saying about implementing an iAuthorization service, and maybe pushing that to the side and not depending on it being as part of the model, if I summarize that argument right. And then, yes. You know, whether I roll my own or not is a whole different issue I'm not going to get into.
Just not, don't tie yourself to a particular
Fair.
Infrastructure. That
Fair
tend
enough.
To be a better idea.
And I'd love to hear what the people out there have to say about it. Next, we talked about re-rolling the way the product works so it doesn't hit the database so many times, which speaks to an overall pattern of trying to do one call per load of data. So I'm going to look into that and re-implementing lazy list and seeing how that can work. Thanks, Oren. I can't thank you enough. A little tongue-tied after talking for, what is this, an hour and a half now. But I've got a lot of work ahead of me, and I really do appreciate it. Where did you get this picture?
Google.
That's horrific.
What do you mean?
I looked at this picture and I was like, what is he trying to say with this?
Encapsulation. I searched for encapsulation and I found something.
Oh my gosh. All right, sure. Thank you.